this is that real hip hop. You know, you don't know nothing about that, Derek.
They wouldn't even do a damn verses battle. They start Derek. Around and like making their own like type of music.
It will turn into a cook off, to be honest with you.
Snort off.
They would have the Pyrex set up in the baking soda and all that kind of stuff. Not saying I know how to. Just saying.
Oh, I do.
Welcome, everyone, to the It's Just Jokes podcast. My name is Joshua Chapman, a.k.a. Slim Ballard, a.k.a. Baby Giannis, a.k.a. Mr. Take Your Girl in Front Your Face. I'm here with my co-hosts, as always. First, Jesse Pink.
What's up?
A.k.a. Dolomite P, a.k.a. Baby Samoa Joe, a.k.a. Groovy Grizzly. Why? Because it keeps it raw on you hoes. Next, it's Kobe Price.
What up?
A.k.a. the homie Kobe, a.k.a. Mr. The Price is Right, a.k.a. Kobe. Rest in peace. Last but certainly not least, Derek Small.
What's poppin'?
A.K.A. D. Smalls, A.K.A. Anthony Mackey Jr., A.K.A. Damn, Derek, where'd you find this pod? Shout out to Dre for everything behind the scenes and for the intro music. We appreciate you. And speaking of Dre, we are joined by Dre himself, our first podcast guest, right now on the pod. Welcome.
What's good?
What's going on? So today's episode is all about music that makes you lose control. Specifically, which IG battles we would like to see. Now, this is only artists that are still alive. So, for example, there was one that I would have liked to see between Frank Ocean and Mac Miller. Unfortunately, as you all know, that Mac Miller is no longer with us. May God rest his soul. We can't do anything like Luther versus Marvin Gaye. You know, any of these artists that have passed away. But these are all about artists that are with us here today on the podcast. And as such, we also had an artist join us. Dre put out his tape, Bozy Tapes, World Views Worldwide. Did I say that right?
World Views.
Yep, World Views, my bad. Bozy Tapes, World Views. Go stream that right now on every platform available. But gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Man, I'm solid. When you said Marvin Gaye versus Luther, man, I just thought about all the... Shoot, what's all the baby boomers would have just had more of them. They just would have made more babies if they had that.
Man,
that
would have been a legendary versus.
Would have had all kinds of what's the after Gen Z?
Millennial?
No, it's not.
It's millennial then Gen Z.
There's the new one is Generation Double A, but there's no research to entail about. What will be the age brackets for that generation, as well as what will be the social stances. So right now, we're just currently focused on Gen Z. In other words, still, you're still right, Kobe. Be a fuck ton of kids.
Precisely.
Yeah. You know, Tupac versus Biggie, all that kind of stuff. Like, you know,
So all these New York niggas can shut the fuck up. Like, all the old head New York and West Coast.
You know what I actually would have been more interested in seeing is Biggie versus Nas.
I once saw Big versus Jay, though. I want to see that.
Jay's catalog is so deep. Like, it expands so much. That's not to say that Nas doesn't, but, like, you can very much argue that after Illmatic, like, he doesn't have a great album after that. Like, he has probably the best debut album of all time, but not something that's, like, spectacular. Whereas, like, Jay, like, he has multiple and multiple different decades, like, great albums. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Side note, just before we start, I would like to see Marvin Gaye and Teddy Pendergrass. Dog, do you know?
That'd be tough.
Ooh, now smooth as hell that would have been.
Al Green versus Luther.
Woo!
I would just like pop up with a suede suit if I got to see that one, just naturally.
Man, I'd just be over here. Let me tell you something, babe.
Can I say,
hey, bro, get off that mic, bro. Get off. You too close to the mic. Get off.
Can I say Al Green versus Kim?
Versus
Kim.
Ooh. Maybe I'm a dreamer.
Ooh. I haven't thought about Kim. Yeah, that actually be a good one. But no, we're talking about all these hypothetical ones, but we all came up with our own.
We did.
Who wants to take the first go at it?
I'll start it off. When we had our meeting, I got bullied again. In terms of my choices, because they're not your, I guess they're not standouts, I guess.
Hold on.
I'm gonna advocate for myself on this podcast.
Time out. You can do that, but get it right. I didn't bully you because who you picked. I actually think it's a good matchup. I bullied you for different reasons. Would you care to explain those reasons?
Yeah, we might as well be transparent with our audience. I don't mind. Go ahead. I don't mind. So I like music, right? I have the Spotify app on my phone and everything. And the thing is, though, when we talk about discographies, right, even for the people I listen to, I don't really know all of their stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I know, like, the things that are pretty mainstream, you know, that everybody would know for the most part.
Radio hits.
But once you dive into, like, the deep cuts, I know some of them, but I'm not that hip on, you know, people's full albums. I listen to singles. I listen to a lot of singles, but I'm not really an album guy. So, yeah, take that how you want to.
He's also not a fun guy.
Take that how y'all want to, audience.
Before we started, I just want to make it clear, like, the format. Like, we're going off of the versus battles that we've seen. That we've seen on Instagram, that we've seen on Apple Music. How Timbaland Switch Beats start all of this during the start of the pandemic to keep y'all at home entertained. And now we've seen classic matchups like T-Pain versus Lil Jon, Teddy Riley, Babyface.
That was probably one of the most fun ones.
Which one?
T-Pain versus Lil Jon.
Oh yeah, that was a great one. That was fantastic.
T-Pain's and Rick Ross one, that was decent.
DMX Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, that was a weird matchup, but like it was fun.
It did well though.
Yeah.
Erykah Badu versus Jill Scott, man. That was another classic.
Bro, it would be so dope, like, after quarantine, like, they can, like, do a versus live. So it's just, like, a joint.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine that? Like DM, like, against
Snoop. I would pay all of the money.
Like, that would be so dope. Somebody put that in there. And then Fun Groovy Grizzly with that idea. Live IG battles. Concerts. You make money. Look. All the old heads make money. Pay LaBelle and all them make more money after this. Oh,
you might have to keep that and patent that.
All right. Hey, you heard it here first on the It's Just Shows podcast. All right. If you hear it anywhere else, you heard it here first. One of my man, his coins.
But put that in mind.
But yes. Go ahead, Derek, with your matchup.
So I'm going to start it off with an R&B matchup, you know, for all the audience members that love R&B. I actually like R&B more than rap. I'm going to be honest. It gets me in my feels, I guess would be the right phrase. But, you know, that's not always bad, guys. You should have feelings, right? So my versus matchup would be Her versus Bryson Tiller. Two very, very good artists, in my opinion. Well, you know, when I'm just laying around thinking about life, you know, these are the people I bump. And they both have hits. I'm talking about hits. So the reason I chose these two, like I said, they just really, one big thing about them, they both know their sound, right? And I had actually a talk with Josh about this. Even though Josh thinks that Bryson is very limited, right, in what he can do.
Oh, he is, absolutely.
I take it as him
knowing. He definitely is, but okay.
I take it as him knowing his sound, right?
His debut album is off the sounds of Drake R&B, so we're not even going to go there, but okay.
Trap Soul has a Drake vibe?
Trap Soul definitely has a Drake vibe.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, interesting.
Time. Absolutely. Exchange, the third verse on Exchange sounds like a Drake verse.
I never looked at it like that. But open. Trap Soul definitely was, to me, even if it had, you know, a vibe, a Drake vibe, to me it was an industry game changer, just because it introduced a not completely different type of sound, but to me, for what the feeling around that sound was, it kind of got enhanced with what Trap Soul brought to the table. So I definitely enjoyed that album, you know, all the way through. To me, it told stories, you know, about where Bryson was in his life and where he's trying to get to, you know. Essentially, it's fuckboy music, but, you know, he's trying to get better in his life. You know what I'm saying?
That should tell y'all a lot about Derek.
You got to be in the field to be a fuckboy. I'm not even in the field, so we'll talk about that. Facts.
Okay, I want you to explain how it's an industry game changer, because I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, I think it was one of the, I don't even want to say the first, because like we said, like, Drake had a lot of that and Nothing Was the Same, and even if you're reading this, it's too late. So I would say he was the game changer. I think Bryson was the first one that sort of like blew up off of that sound that wasn't Drake. But the two aren't necessarily the same.
Okay, so maybe it is more so enhancement rather than changing the game. But I think like with Bryson doing it with Trap Soul, like you said, Josh, like that sound got put in a – it got put on a broader stage, right? Like that whole, I guess,
Trap Soul. Even P&D was kind of like that. Trap Soul type.
P&D doesn't have the same sound as Bryson to me, though. They sound completely different to me.
But at the same time, Drake is weird because it's like Drake has history of getting his R&B influences from The Weeknd, which heavily influenced Take Care. And then P&D being that OVO sweatshop writing most of those songs. So yeah. Who's to say Bryson is an amalgamation of all those other ones?
I mean, I don't think he's Weeknd. I don't think he's like... I think their two sounds are very distinctly different.
I was just gonna say, I just think that sound in general, like if Drake may have started it and what have you on certain albums, but I just think that, like I said, it just had a bigger audience with Trap Soul, and then even Trap Soul allowed other people who came later to kind of like emulate that sound as well.
That's fair, because that sound then became more mainstream and more brought up. Whereas Drake was more like he mixed in rap and singing. This is the first time where we've seen that kind of style inspired by Drake, but mostly laid out in the R&B, which is funny because Bryson kind of made the type of album that most people wanted Drake to do when he was tiptoeing the R&B. But we're talking a lot about Drake and Bryson. We're not really talking about Bryson and...
So yeah, no. So then on the flip side, right, you have Bryson with his impact, but then you also have her... who I believe makes great music. I was so sad that I couldn't see her live at Lollapalooza. What would have been last year? Yeah, she was 2 years ago. Or 2 years ago. She was supposed to be performing on like the Thursday of the lineup, and I had to be in Missouri, or misery, as I call it. But no, her is great as well. I think she sort of has a, don't know if the word for it would be gritty necessarily, but like not completely, right? So it's grit with like, but then she also loops in that, you know, that soulful, you know, R&B type of sound as well. So like, to me, I'm all about storytelling, right? Like, regardless of what I do, you know, whether it's talking with people, I like to hear, you know, how they ended up being who they are, listening to music. I like things that tell stories. You know, I think her does a good job of relaying her life experiences through, you know, the sound of her music. She had a really good Tiny Desk concert that I saw on YouTube, and you know, I just enjoy listening to her sound and how she mixes in the different instrumentals that she uses. You know, her self-titled album was amazing to me. I didn't find one miss on there, I'm gonna be honest. Some of the standouts for me from that album were like Avenue, Lights On, of course Focus, right? So
don't forget the other one.
Which one am I missing?
Jungle.
Oh yeah, she took that. Look, she took that from Drake. So, I mean, no, she definitely has just such a great sound, and I just feel like she, when you listen to her music, right, in my opinion, you really feel kind of what's going on, and that's based on like the sounds that she brings in and everything like that. Like, I feel emotion when I listen to her. Or like Focus is like gives me goosebumps. Jungle really is just amazing. So, just seeing those two battle it out, right, like would be interesting to me, just because of the aspect of them telling stories, but kind of in a way in two different ways, and just kind of seeing how like those bangers would, you know, head up, because you know Bryson of course has all his bangers from Trap Soul, and then her has all her good songs. So
yeah, it wouldn't be a very long battle. Probably if we made this like a 10 song battle, it'd be more interesting than 20.
Yeah, I mean, you would definitely have to think about what songs go into it for sure, but I think they have enough to have a decent battle, though. Even if it was 10 versus 20, I think those 10 from each person could be, you know, really good. And give the audience a show. So
I was gonna say, don't forget that with verses, you can also throw in your features too.
And look, Kobe actually made me, I wrote that point down. Kobe, you actually brought it, made me remember it. I'm gonna be honest, both, in my opinion, both of them add to people's songs like really well. Like when Bryson gets featured on tracks and when her gets featured on tracks, they enhance it in my eyes. And they even had a collab together that is one of my favorite songs, you know, ever, with Could Have Been. So, you know, I definitely think that that battle would be something to watch for sure.
Yeah, it kind of – oh, go ahead, Jesse.
No, it's interesting as he says that because, yeah, when there's a song that Gucci Mane and Bryson Tiller made that I know for some people might not know this, so this is like really like if you have listened to music.
Oh, I know exactly what song you're talking about. Yeah, it's like Drive Me Crazy or something like
that. Yeah, yeah. And like you can see he's in that pocket a lot. But then and like you can see how Bryson's really into that trap. Again, that trap bass and boom, that trap bass, and he kind of sings, does the rap and sing song over it, very reminiscent of Drake, but still. And at one point, though, if it wasn't for that song that she has with YG, Slide, at one point, her wasn't really doing it like that. She did have songs like Focus that had, like, that trap beat on it, but it was, like, slow. Like, when you have a song like Slide featuring YG, it's a little bit more upbeat. It's the bass is there. And with YG's presence, it's a little bit more assertive. So, with that being said, her is probably more diverse than Bryson.
I will say that, like, both artists are in their own lane in terms of, like, they pretty much, they're cool with their own sound, right? But, like, I think you can also very well make the argument that both of them get stuck making very similar music over and over again. And I say that to say, like, if you compare her to someone like Ne-Yo, right? Like, her those sounds are completely different in terms of, like, what they're not only bringing, but also, like, Ne-Yo's, her two albums are completely different from each other, completely different sounds. Like, the music is, and they both have musicality. Like, her is a better musician because she can play instruments and all that sort of stuff. But, like, so I do kind of want to see them diversify their sound. I wish Bryson could sing that so that he would sing. I want him to actually, like, sing and be in
R&B. Hey, sometimes you just can't do stuff, so you got to make it work some other way. You know,
no, it's kind of like that Drake influence too, right there. Like, I don't think Drake is a really good singer.
I don't think
like
Drake is singing, but he's made a whole R&B album with Take Care.
Oh no, I don't want Drake to sing at all. So,
like, y'all remember that live performance he did of "Just Hold On, We're Going Home" live? It was just god awful.
But even to your point though, even with them needing to diversify their sounds, I think that their hits are hits, right? So, like, even if their sounds aren't that diverse, you know, with Bryson's hits, like, they're good songs, right? Like, the ones that are standouts, you can say, like, oh, this is a good song. With her, you know, she has her standouts as well, and you can say this is a really good song. Their sounds may be linear, right, in terms of, like, not having much change, but, you know, when they have those songs that pop, you know, they pop, at least in my opinion.
I kind of agree on that. I haven't heard too much of her's discography. I'm more familiar with Bryson. His last album did go crazy. It topped most of his, in my opinion, kind of was on, like, even playing field with Trap Soul, probably.
We waited 5 years for this nigga to turn the other side.
Yeah, like,
wow.
That's the crazy thing. It took him so long to do it.
I will say he added nothing for me on Wild Thoughts. I could have completely done without him on that song.
What?
He said nothing whatsoever.
I want to – wait, what did he say? What was the Usain Bolt line? That was pretty nice.
Derek, please do not make me look up these lyrics.
You know what it was? Wild Thoughts was the equivalent of
– can we do a reading? Just a quick reading?
No, Wild Thoughts was the equivalent of, like, just putting this guy's name on here on a group project and, like, giving him a part to read. That's all it was.
Hey, he read the syllabus and contributed. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. Rihanna bodied the rest of it.
Rihanna bodied it, bro.
Yeah.
And in many ways, that's a reflection of how black women have to do more to uplift black men. But Drake, take it away.
Hey.
Now that pipe got her running like she Usain, baby. Come on.
We're gonna move on to Lil Wayne and Kanye. That's mine.
All my people 26 and up. Time to stand up.
Yo, this is our time to shine.
I would favorably like to see a versus match between Lil Wayne and Kanye. Not only because, like, they literally came up around, like, kind of like similar time periods and stuff, and we were there to see it from, like, birth to now, even. But it's just like these are two of the greatest artists and, like, lyricists of our generation and time, like, after Pac, Biggie, and stuff like that. And, like, their discographies are filled with just hits. Lil Wayne has done it on the side of albums and mixtapes, collectively and singles, but we've more so seen Kanye do it on just like just off of albums and guest appearances or features on other songs. Like,
no, his first five albums go crazy, dude.
Exactly. Yeah. Like 808 and Heartbreaks, Graduation, College Dropout, bro, all of those phenomenal. And it for me, I love Kanye's music, especially in the early part of his career, but his character as a person, that was something I was against, kind of. So I was more of a Wayne fan. That's why I leaned towards, but I still acknowledged his lyricism and all that. And his production on all of his albums go crazy too. So that's what one thing that
That's what I was gonna say, is that I don't think Kanye is a great lyricist, but he has his production value on an album. Like, it goes like if you want to talk about revolutionizing the sound, like 808s is the clear, like, you get so many people siphoning off on that. And yeah, then he turns around and pumps out My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy after that, right? Like, the way that Late Registration and College Dropout flows. And then Graduation is literally just an album of him making hits and talking shit. Like, mm-hmm, that's it. The entire album, like.
No, so here's the thing. Here's the thing about this. This is a really interesting matchup, because the thing is that we grew up, Kanye West and Lil Wayne created the sounds in terms of hip hop and rap that helped us grow up. We didn't grow during that time. In other words, I wasn't 23 years old going to the Carter 3 concert, right? We didn't necessarily live in that time of like being the age that we are now in their prime, but we witnessed it as we grew up, if that makes any sense. Like, as we were growing up, we were seeing their rise to the top too. So it's almost like we was on that journey with them too. It was pretty dope to see. I will say, between the two, it's pretty interesting because, like you said, I say Kanye has like five flawless albums. Honestly, I know most people say 4 out of 5 because people say Late Registration, College Dropout, Graduation. People will not like 808s and Heartbreaks, but I'm sitting up here to say, if you don't get Drake, you don't get The Weeknd, you don't get Wale, you really don't even get J. Cole, but a lot of those samples he did in earlier the year. If you don't get 808s and Heartbreaks, or even previous Kanye West albums, you really don't. And then My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. You have five fire albums to me that was just straight fire. And even his layers work, like Yeezus. Yeezus wasn't not necessarily like acceptable to the ears, but Yeezus was good in terms of like movie soundtracks, or to cue that something dangerous about to happen, for something dramatic, if you will. Wayne is different. Wayne was more like, you can start at 500 degrees with Juvenile and them boys. Then you can go to the Carter 1, 2, and 3. And then let's not forget Mixtape Weezy with the Droughts 1, 2, and 3. And most people will say to this day, and I'm probably one of the people too, Mixtape Weezy is the best Weezy. Then you have Carter 2 Weezy. Then you'll have Carter 3 Weezy, and then Carter 1 at 500 degrees. Mixtape Weezy is actually the best one.
I'm glad you just went like
Mixtape Weezy is the best one, because that starts the whole, Wayne is pretty much responsible for the whole culture of, do not put him on your song, because that is now his song. Mm-hmm. Wayne is also responsible for being on the radio multiple times, and you just hear nothing but his songs. I remember, this is how much Wayne was hitting so hard. I remember before the Carter 3 dropped, it was rumored that it had leaked, and all the songs that were on there leaked. For anybody else, that would have really messed up their bag. Wayne had so much music at the time, and it was so good. He was able to still scrap out an album that hit a million. Now, a lot of people will say, is it, now people question, well, was it a million because of the content on the Carter 3, and or was it the hype surrounding it? It's honestly the hype surrounding it, and it's honestly the Mixtape Weezy aesthetic and all that. Because when you listen to that album itself, it's such a weird album. It should never really got as high as it did. Like, Got Money and Lollipop really, like, lifted that album from the spot. I'll wrap it up and say this. Between the two, I'll say for both of them, and both of them, I'll say, like, I'm not really on them as much anymore. Kanye West, after obvious reasons for him supporting Donald Trump. Lil Wayne, for obvious reasons of constantly having these questionable ideas of Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter. But I'll say between the two, Fuck, that's a tough one, bro. That's
let Derek and Kobe weigh in before I add in.
No, I guess if I had to, you know, pit them against each other, I mean, for me, damn, yeah, everything that Jesse kind of was saying, it's really, they're just so influential, like from a music standpoint, both of them, especially Mixtape Wayne. Sheesh, I mean, he has so many, but I honestly, I think that My Beautiful Twisted Dark Fantasy was one of the most impactful albums I've ever listened to. Like, he had the album itself, he had the visual, which was fantastic. And I mean, from a standpoint of like a show and like a production, like Kanye is up there, right? But then Wayne also gives you, like Jesse said, the metaphors and things like that and the wordplay. But I'm damn near going, yay, just because of everything that he's given us. And like, I haven't enjoyed his last few things, but I mean, but he even has some good ones on these last few. So I don't know. I just like the whole show that essentially that Kanye gives you when it comes to music and visuals. So for me, it would probably be yay for me.
See, when I'm thinking about this yay versus Weezy debate, I'm thinking about, are we going to include Kanye's production? Because if we are, then that's a whole different story. But if we're talking straight up songs they were on, either songs they were rapping on, whether it's as the main artist or the feature artist, I think I'm going to take Weezy, not just off the strength of the mixtapes, but also off the strength of his features. Because what he also popularized is, look, this man was on not just his songs everywhere, but he was on everybody else's song at a certain point. I mean, I'm thinking about DJ, like, it wasn't just like him being featured with a bunch of other artists, like DJ Khaled's We Taking Over, Duffel Bag Boy. You even got songs like with
Boy. Get your buddy Little Duffel Bag Boy.
Hey, yo. I know. Shout out to 2 Chainz, aka Titty Boy at that time, for real.
I was going to say, side note, shout out to Cat Williams for making, like, for immortalizing that in his stand-up.
Soldier. Destiny's Child.
But by my bad. And the funny part about the story about that is that Wayne dropped that, like, as that song was taking off. And he just said, put that in there.
Wait, which song are you talking about?
Turn My Swag On. There's actually a Turn My Swag On verse from Wayne. And when Turn My Swag On was, like, coming up, Wayne just dropped that album nowhere. And then, like, the radios instantly, without Soulja Boy approving it, they just attached Wayne's verse on there and just kept it going. Like, around it, like, you just couldn't if you was Wayne. Like, you just had to.
I was gonna say, I think I'm taking Wayne, I'm gonna take Wayne. And if you include Kanye's production, then it's gonna be Kanye. But off the strength of being a main artist and features, I'm tossing up to Wayne.
You could definitely.
Barely.
See, I will say this. I think Wayne had one of the biggest runs that we've seen in terms of, like, all right, there's obviously, you know, 50 Cent when he came out, you know, Drake, like, from 2010, 2009-ish until, like, now, like, where he's clearly at the top of the charts and all that kind of stuff. And Wayne, like, him being at his peak. However, I think if you put the 20 best Kanye songs, including features, I think that's so hard to beat for anyone but, like, maybe two people. And those two being, like, Jay-Z and maybe Drake. Like, it's so hard, like.
I think Wayne, but also, like we said, it's the abundance of, like, music that.
It's Wayne, the abundance, but, like, yo, you could pull 4 or 5 songs just straight off of Graduation. And then another 4 or 5 straight off of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. You could pull 2 each from his first 2 albums, right? And then you're not even counting in the features and stuff that he's doing, like any of that kind of stuff. Like, you're not even counting in, like, the album that he did with Jay-Z, like Watch the Throne. Like, that's so hard for anybody to beat.
I feel that. But Wayne,
I think the same thing can be said about Wayne.
Like, you're talking about albums. Drake, Wayne can just do the fucking mixtapes.
Yes.
Wayne can just do his verses, G.
I don't think his 20 best are like, I'm.
Bro,
we're not
even going to talk about 20 best. We even talk about memorable, G. Yeah. We even talk about memorable, dog.
Yeah,
that is so close. Thank you. He can put up the No Ceilings mixtape is a contender for Kanye West album songs. I will say between the two, Kanye might win by a hair.
I didn't say it was going to be a blowout.
No, no, I'm not insinuating that you're saying it's gonna be a blowout. But when you said that, put Kanye West 20 best songs like together, and that's gonna be hard for anybody to stack up. I'm saying that's true, because a Kanye West discography is tough, and you're saying there's only two people. I'm saying put Wayne in there, and yeah. Wayne's even challenging, because you can put Wayne's mixtapes in there, or you can put Wayne's verses on stuff, and that's enough can even contend with Kanye.
Like Kobe said, I feel like it's with the production, and like you said, Jesse, Kanye will take that small little lead, you know, in the end.
I don't think all of us. So wait, Josh, you say yay.
Yeah.
Derek, who you got?
I had yay too.
Yay. Jesse, who you got? You got Wayne or you got?
I'm gonna be controversial. I'm gonna say Wayne.
You gonna say Wayne? It's weird going back. Who do we have in this last round or the round before? Who do you have for Derek's?
I say her. Her has more problems.
Probably.
Yeah, even though I'm a big fan of Bryson, I didn't really even say who I prefer, but I probably choose her over Bryson.
Yeah, I'm going.
What about you, Dre?
I'm going more Bryson because I don't know too much her, so
that's fair.
What would you get with Ye versus Weezy? You're the tiebreaker right here, so pressure's on you.
Ooh, like you said, production. Ooh, totally production, Kanye, but full song. Like I said, I was more into Wayne, so I'm gonna have to give it to Wayne.
Yes,
it's the raw lyricism for me.
No, okay. That's fair.
This was a good versus. This was a good one. This, I don't know. This kind of put up our energy for real.
This was hard. This was a hard one. For sure.
But I understand where Josh is coming. I'm not saying this at all to deflate what Josh is saying. Josh got a great ass point, because it's hard as hell. Like, you can come up to Kanye, and all Kanye has to do is take songs from his earlier works and just be like, you ain't.
If he does his first five albums, not even including any features, anything from Life of Pablo, anything like that, that's already tough enough. But then you add in those other stuff that he went crazy, not even adding good music, like with those Good Music Fridays that he was dropping.
Mercy, you can't.
Mercy, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's incredibly, like, and this is no diss to Wayne at all. Like, I think he's right underneath Kanye in terms of like being a super hard artist to go against. However, like everything I just said in terms of like Kanye's entire discography, everything that he's been on, everything that he's been featured on, everything like that, it's so tough. Like, he literally made, like I said, Graduation was literally an album full of him just making like radio hits that was just him talking shit on. And like five of them were huge hits.
That's facts. Wayne also made a mixtape of talking shit.
No, I understand, but that's like
no, I'm not saying it did. I'm not talking shit. I'm not defeating you, but I'm just speaking to like, goddamn, this is a tough one to match up, but I understand. You know, that's, and I believe. So, something's really interesting. So, I remember of June of last year on Twitter, there was something that really happened with one of my favorite artists. Typically, he uses Twitter for comedic purposes, but on that day, Schoolboy Q was so pissed off. I think it was a picture that he had with somebody, you know, just fans. And someone in the comments was like, you look like ASAP Ferg. And he was so pissed, bro. He was like, I don't look not like that ugly nigga. It's just like, yeah, like, although they don't look alike, I mean, they don't look alike at all. They kind of had similar, they have pretty much the same projections. Both of them are the concierge, so their respective labels. ASAP Mob for ASAP Ferg, and then TDE or Black Hippie for Schoolboy Q. Actually, both of them actually start blowing up around the same time, because I remember Trap Lord came out, I believe, in 2013. Yeah, Trap Lord came out in 2013, and then Oxymoron came out in 2014. And then along the time, we also had features with them. Like, ASAP did the, what is it, Work, Put Him in the Dirt. He did the Work remix, and Q was on there. And also, Q was on the Let It Bang feature with ASAP Ferg's sophomore album. I think both of them have the same career projection, and both of them almost have the same type of music they make, which in terms of is very aggressive, is very loud, and is very sounding. I say between the two, though, I think Q has a little bit more of an elevated career because he made Blank Face. and Blankface is one of Q's most critically acclaimed albums. That's not really not to say that Ferg has been falling short, but Ferg hasn't made an album to where we look back and we're like, yeah, that was his album for real, for real. Ferg has bangers. Let's not act like Ferg doesn't. Let's not act like that. What's that? Plain Jane, the Plain Jane remix, Move Your Hips, Work. Let's do Let It Bang. Let's do I'm on a New Level. He has those bangers. But then Q also has Collard Greens. Q also has Collard Greens, Studio. He can even do John Muir if you wanted to. He can even do Dope Dealer. He can even do that song with 2 Chainz that they did.
The entire Oxymoron album.
Yeah, the entire Oxymoron album just slaps. The entire Oxymoron album is like really pretty much what got Q all of his goals. You can even do some shit off of Crash Talk. You can do Chopsticks if you wanted to, or you can even do Num Num Juice. I would say between the two, I'm taking Q because Q has had a little bit more commercial success and his commercial success started relatively early, more consistent than Ferg. I will also say Q because Q is by hair a little bit more experimental than Ferg. They will both do stylistically very weird and experimental things. Both of them will. Like, you could do Rico Nasty and ASAP Ferg with Butt Naked, and that's that whole Street Fighter theme on there. Or you can find Schoolboy Q on a Danny Brown song, and it will sound completely fine. Or you can find both of them on a Maxo Cream album, and they both sound perfectly good. But by hair, I'm taking Q. I'm taking Q by hair. Q's bangers have lasted a little bit longer. And that was my manifesto.
I think I might agree with you on this one. I think I'm going to take Q with this. When you mentioned that you were going to do a Schoolboy Q one, I'd like you guys know, I went made a couple playlists about who you guys are going to be using, and it made me go back. It's like, man, I forgot how much I really like Schoolboy Q. I mean, the Oxymoron album was, I forgot how much I enjoyed that album, especially at the time. But it wasn't just the Oxymoron album that I was really into. It was also, it wasn't just Oxymoron. It was it Num Num Juice? I think that's the most recent one. No, Crash Talk.
Crash Talk, yeah.
Crash Talk, that was cool, but even...
You can do Setbacks and Contradictions. I mean, what Setbacks, Habits, and Contradictions.
Blankface.
Even Blankface.
He just had a run. I mean, he's still on the run, but he's had a run of just straight dope albums. And not to take anything away from Ferg. I like Ferg. Ferg's dope, but I think I would definitely take Q with this one.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much from either person, but just because of how diverse you stated Schoolboy was, Jesse. And just kind of what I've heard, like, I know I went to that TDE concert. That was actually my first ever concert. And just how, like, live that was, you know, combined with what I've heard from Schoolboy. I'm glad you brought up Chopsticks. It's one of my favorite songs. So, I'm honestly, just off of what I know, I mean, ASAP Ferg makes bangers, right? Like, you could bump his stuff in the car and, like, it'll, like, go crazy on your speakers. But just overall, I'm taking Schoolboy.
And just to alley-oop this to Josh, I remember when we were at that TDE concert and Josh was like, nigga, if Kendrick didn't show up, you would have thought this was the main event. Like, that nigga had hits and it was packed out.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not as big on Ferg. I'm not really big on the whole ASAP mob anyways. Like, that's just, like, they make good music, but that's just not, like, I don't spend a whole bunch of time in their discography. But Blankface is legitimately one of my favorite albums. And I remember talking to Jesse about this because, you know, Kendrick, the way Kendrick paints a picture of LA is very different than the way that Schoolboy paints a picture of LA, right? Like, Kendrick is, like, sort of, he's gang affiliated, but he's not a gang member. So there is some, like, some innocence that you hear in him, especially when he's rapping in Good Kid, Mad City. Like, there's still, like, a wide-eyedness to it. Like, yeah, he sort of is around these people that are doing these type of things, but he's still very, like, you know, not the kid that does gangbanging. Like, Schoolboy is very opposite in that. Case in point, he has one of my favorite lyrics. Been a mathematician, load 9, subtracting 8. I'm keeping 1 for just in case, don't cover face. But I ain't tripping, blunt was lace. Niggas know I'm round the way, so ain't no liquor stores today. Like, he's just, like, it's just like there's a level of, like, griminess and, like, especially from that, like, album, like, it feels like he's coming from, like, the underworld the entire album. Like, it's very, like, metal, like, heavy, like, rock and, like, metal-induced, like, all that sort of thing, like, and there's a grit to it that you don't even hear with like YG or like or a lot of like different like, you know, Nipsey or anything like that. Like there's just a like, I don't want to say an East Coast feel, but it's definitely like a very aggressiveness to it that I definitely, you know, love from his the way that he's putting out his sound. So yeah, I'm definitely more of a Schoolboy than ASAP fan. So yeah, I'm gonna have to go with him.
The weirdest thing that I will also say about Q, it's funny that you mentioned that because I remember him talking about an interview how 50 Cent and Jay-Z inspired how he rapped. And it makes it's very clear because Q has this weird thing where like he'll end bars like on 12 or 13. Like it's like almost the same way how Jay does. But it's also for me, I say Q's better for me and the artist I relate to more. Q also has this thing where, like, he says a lot without saying much. Case in point, it was that song he did with 21 Savage, Good Day. But he was like, I'm in a photo, driving a solo, nigga is stolen, hopped out and parked them, nigga then walked home. It was too many things. On one side, it's just like, he in a photo, he's driving a solo, he parked it, he literally hopped out the car, parked him or blew a nigga out, and just walked home. He said so much and so little. But I guess that's why. Because Q, to me, Q is probably level 2 tier for the TDE roster, definitely. And that's no disrespect to him. It's more like, I feel like...
I mean, it's just Kendrick at the top, to be honest.
It's Kendrick at the top, to be honest. But I do feel like Q can... I feel like Q can scratch the surface of where Kendrick is a little bit more. But I think Q is more so in this area where he's like, nigga, I'm going to take care of my kids. As long as they're good, I'm fine. Every 2 years, I'll drop an album for Top. And you talked about his background, Josh. I think he's just a nigga that's like, I'm so glad I'm out of game banging right now. I'm just so glad I provided for my kids. It's cool that I make music, but I'm trying to be a dad first and foremost. And I can't even get mad at that. I'm like, fuck it.
Like Josh says, I like Schoolboy Q on his grittiness, his music, and how he presents Compton and California differently and stuff. Like his music has more of a dark type of tone around it versus like Ferg's, even though you know they kind of have the same type of vibe. I wouldn't say it's like too dark or anything, because there are songs where he has a lighthearted like tones of beats and production chords. But like I said, it's more raw that he gives it to you. Like he gives it to you straightforward kind of. And so that's one thing I like about Schoolboy Q. And then ASAP Ferg, on the other hand, like I've been following the ASAP Mob for a while since like high school and stuff like that, and so I liked ASAP Ferg around that time heavily, not only because of his music, but because of, like their videos and their creative content that they put out. So like the stuff like that made me kind of listen to their music more because I'm like, okay, what kind of video are you going to put out to associate with this and stuff like that? Their vision basically was what caught me. And so I would probably have to lean more on the Schoolboy Q side of this just because like his for me is more literally the music and ASAP Ferg is, you know, on the ASAP side of the creative content.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. Well, so I think we're all going Schoolboy then, right?
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. We all Schoolboy guys.
Okay, cool. So my matchup, I've been thinking about this a lot. Like at first I wanted to do Frank Ocean versus Sam Smith, but then two reasons I didn't do that. One, I didn't want to bring a white man into the verses, as these have all been black artists. You know what I'm saying? We're going to continue to keep this a black only space.
Africans only.
But two, upon like going back on Frank's stuff, like Frank's bag was way too deep for Sam Smith. From all the projects and stuff that he's put out and features and all that sort of thing. So then I went to Anderson .Paak and Black, I almost called him Six Lack, Black But again, Pac's bag is way too deep for that. And their styles don't even mesh up well. I think Anderson Pac versus Bruno Mars might be a fun one in terms of like that very like 70s like aesthetic type vibe that they're giving, all that sort of thing. But the one I'm actually going to go with is Pusha T as a solo artist, so nothing from Clips. Pusha T as a solo artist versus Benny the Butcher. I still think Push takes that one, but I very much enjoy that style of rap where they're talking about drugs a lot and street life and all that sort of thing. And Benny and the rest of Griselda is really bringing back a 90s like Wu-Tang sort of like sound. And Push is just Push. Like, he's very like very grimy, very raw, like, you know, Dre was saying, very to the point about what he's doing. And they've even been on the same song together, 18 Wheeler. Like, that was a great song. I definitely would listen to a tape of them just rapping together. And like I said, I definitely think this is something that Push wins, just because he's been on those Good Fridays, all that sort of stuff. He's had Nostalgia with Kendrick, which was that song is a huge song. I don't think Benny has anything that big, and there's still people finding out about Benny. Yeah, he doesn't have anything that big yet. There's still people finding out about Benny, but just to hear them drug rap together on a versus battle, like, I would be so down for it.
Nah, I really rock with that. I would take Push too, for a simple fact of Pusha. The biggest complaint or constructive feedback from Pusha T from every album, from My Name Is My Name to Darkness Before Dawn, which I'm gonna still get on him with, because he literally called that a prelude. He literally said that was the album before Daytona, and it was just like, dog, what? And then Daytona, the constructive feedback is always that it's the same subject matter, that even cocaine, though that's, it's always the same subject matter selling dope. But every single time I look on Metacritic, this man has at least an 83. You know why? Because he's so good at talking about the same topic. He's so good at having the same topic. And he's low-key a little bit more experimental than Benny in terms of, like, and it's weird to even say that. That Timberland beat that he was on with Ab Liva. Oh, my gosh. I'm forgetting.
Oh, I know which is the one you're talking about.
Yeah. It's just like, how do you find a pocket for this Timberland joint? How? So I definitely take Push.
I'm going to take Push. I know Push better. I've listened to more Push than I have Benny, to be honest with you. I did listen to a little bit of Benny, or more Benny, just to prepare. But I'm going to take Push. I've enjoyed him more. He's just been a more memorable artist, more memorable songs throughout my lifetime. And to me, based off the ones I know that we're doing, I think this was the easiest one for me to do. No disrespect to Benny, but just for me.
Yeah, no. No disrespect whatsoever to Benny.
It's no disrespect, because, like, the fact that it's two things. The fact that on 18 Wheeler, Benny was able to hold his own against Push, that's one thing. The fact that we're even saying a versus with him and Benny, with Benny and Push, is another thing too, because Benny's getting hot. And you can even say that, like, the music that he's dropped now is of contending with Push. That says a lot about Benny, because not a lot of artists can say that.
Yo, on the plugs I met, that entire tape, like, he's holding his own with Push, Jadakiss, Black Thought, like, For him to just be a relative newcomer on the scene and to be honing his own with guys like that, like, yo, that's dope. And, you know, like I said, this is definitely one of those, this will be a versus like an underground, like, cypher type verse. You know what I mean? Like, this is not for, like, the masses type thing. This is that real hip hop. You know, you don't know nothing about that, Derek.
They wouldn't even do a damn versus battle. They start Derek. Around and, like, making their own, like, type of music.
It will turn into a cook-off, to be honest with you.
Snort off.
They would have the Pyrex set up and the baking soda and all that kind of stuff. Not saying I know how to. Just saying.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I gotta agree with Kobe. I'm not too hip on Benny the Butcher. I know Josh plays him all the time.
It's great work on music.
But I'm gonna have to tap into Benny, I guess, after this episode for sure. So I just gotta take Push off of GP, just because I don't know much about Benny.
What I was gonna say was like what you said, Josh. What you touched on, like Benny was a newcomer on that album, and that's what I like to see on that. He was able to hold his own amongst these veterans who literally know how to deliver bars of that caliber about this subject matter, because they've been in this, like they can literally talk about this because they've been in it, and Pusha T does it for so long because he has like so much knowledge of it. And that's how I like that he can give you so much different content about the same thing, even though it might sound kind of the same on some of them, you know. But Benny has a little bit of variety in his production, is what I like to see on that side. But overall on this one, I'm going to have to give it to Push. Like y'all,
yeah.
Push comes more ready to deliver him, I would say, kind of. Like he's not scared to just literally go there all the way. And we've seen that with him and Drake.
Him and Aubrey Graham and his family, he doesn't want to claim?
Yeah. Yeah.
That man bullied. He literally bullied him into being a better father. To Benny's credit, though, I know we showing Benny a lot of love, and I want to still really put this in. Benny has gone toe-to-toe with two rappers on the plugs I met, Pusha T and Black Thought. Shout out to Black Thought. Benny has only been rapping for 3 years.
No, he's been rapping longer than that.
Benny has said that he's only been rapping for 3 years. Oh. He said, remember when he was like, Benny has said he has a history of getting out of jail. And then he said, and I remember seeing this on Twitter, that he said that 3 years ago, Black Thought and somebody else told him to write every day. There's a reason why on that Pray for Paris album, Josh, I forgot, it's Giorgio.
My first Brick came out in 2016. That's 4 years. That's 4 years. He had something before that, didn't he?
But he said something along the lines of, I'm not disagreeing with that, but he said something along the lines of, think back 3 years ago when nobody know me. Now I run this rap shit just like somebody owe me. It's just like, oh. And Benny is notorious for saying like he's been rapping for 3 years. So I'm giving him that props. I'm just saying, like, for him to have that short amount of time to just start rapping the way how he is. And you can honestly tell from each project it's getting easier and easier for him. It's like, shit, Kobe.
Man, well, I'm going to wrap up with my verses. I was going to go R&B at first. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do some hip-hop. I was going to do, disclaimer, I was going to do TDE versus Dreamville. But one, I didn't want to cheat with a group. Two, I think that TDE would win that one off the strength of Kendrick, Q, and SZA. And I think at the time, I also knew that one of you guys were going to use Q. We were going back and forth about it. So I decided to go with two young, who I would call young stars of the rap game, and Ben Staples and Joey Badass. Two guys I think that are, they come from different, obviously different parts of the country, different parts of the country, but are also very similar in terms of how brash they are, how upfront they are, kind of the topics that they speak about, topics that they rap about. And I was looking through this exercise, this podcast that we're talking about, made me go back through like some of their discography. And I remember how much I enjoyed 1999, how much, I mean, I know it's only been 3 years, but All American Badass, I remember where I was when that dropped and just how much I enjoyed it. But then Biz Staples on one hand, I mean, you have his mixtapes, but even all of his albums that he's dropped since 2015, Summertime 06, Big Fish Theory, FM, you ain't getting many misses out of those. And I think with Vince, that's something that I appreciated about, I mean, pretty much all his work up to this point. Everything between the albums, even the ones I don't like as much, it's the EP Prima Donna and Hell Can Wait.
Yeah.
He just doesn't miss. It's just, and he's very, it's the style, it's the brashness, and it's just the consistency. And even if it's going to take him to drop something every 1 to 2 years, I'm good with that.
Yeah, Vince is one of these dudes where it's weird because out of the younger generation of rap that's taking over, he might be the most critically acclaimed, most avant-garde out of all of them. He's the most avant-garde out of all of them because his most experimental album was Big Fish Theory.
Yeah.
And that album was very experimental. And he also held his own with Kendrick on Yeah Right. that is a it's a lot with Vince. I would definitely take Vince too. Vince, you know, one of the biggest critiques for Joey Badass coming up was that Joey Badass was coming up off of, like, especially 1999. He had that very 90s aesthetic hip-hop boom-bap rap. But Vince, however, he has adapted more to the sound. It's a little bit more familiarity with the sound. Like, FM's a prime example of that, but it's not so much entrenched into that sound. It's a little bit of variance. So I'll take Vince.
Yeah, all three of his albums are very different. They're all, yeah. At least the studio albums, Summer 06, Big Fish Theory, FM, they're all...
You can even include the EPs. He's probably I hate to say it, I don't want to say it like this to start controversy, but out of all them newcomer rappers, like, when you're trying to include him, maybe Tyler, Earl Sweatshirt, and all them, and Joey, he's probably the Kendrick out of all of them. He has this crazy ability to have these critically acclaimed albums while also making them very accessible.
Do not look down on Vince.
Yeah, like, I definitely like Vince, and I think I like Vince's personality too. Like, he's such a, like, I mean, you see him doing his press tours and interviews and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's very much an engaging, like, personality on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. You know, he had that whole thing about, like, he was like, fuck R. Kelly, and like, oh, what's R. Kelly gonna do? Piss on me? Like, nah, I'll beat his ass, like, all that type of stuff.
Well, he was saying he liked 2000 rappers more than 90s rappers. Niggas was losing their mind when he said that shit.
He also went on, was like, Ray J is, like, he talked about, like, broke down, like, why Ray J is one of the GOATs and all that kind of stuff. Like,
don't forget, you know, that he's the one that coined the term, that the American anthem don't even slap. Or national anthem.
Yeah. That was him. By the way, it doesn't. The national anthem does not slap.
Big facts.
At all.
Shout out to Vince.
Yeah, but, and I think, like, his projects, like, I enjoy his features that he's been on. FM is such a, like, again, like, it's a Cali project, but it's a different type of feel with that too. Cause, right, he incorporates Big Boy a lot with that. But just his sound is so distinct. And that's not to say that Joey's isn't, but, like, I don't know. Like, I like Joey. I like All American Badass the most. I like Joey. I think I just like Vince more. So I'm gonna go. But I think if we're doing a versus battle, I think also Joey would have more music to pick from and to put up against Vince's, because Vince releases shorter projects. So I think that would be the only one downfall, is that, like, I like Vince more. He's more, you know, all that sort of thing. But I don't know if he has the entire, like, just catalog of stuff. Not to say that, you know, Joey has been, you know, has this huge catalog in the same way that Kanye or Wayne or anybody like that would, or anyone that, like we talked about. But, like, Joey does put out full-length projects, whereas, like, Vince puts out more shorter-length stuff.
And the fucking wild part about Vince is that this nigga gets his bag. Like, he was on the Spider-Man joints. He was on the Queen and Slim joints. This nigga has a song with Bon Jovi.
Please don't bring up Queen and Slim, bro.
Yeah, we're talking about the soundtrack, not solely the movie. The movie's trash. I'll fight anybody who says that. He has a song with Bon Jovi. This nigga has a song with Billie Eilish, nigga. Like, this is wild as hell. And, like, at one point before FM, people are like, his personality doesn't mesh well with the music. But now now it's meshing together. That nigga's different.
Vince and Schoolboy on Ride Out off of Blank Face. Yo, I mean, when you want to talk about, like, that is a song. That is, like, that song was so good. Like, in terms of
baby sister, heard that bitch got EBT.
yeah. Like, yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Vince too.
Yeah, no, Vince is hard. Vince is hard. I know I've heard a couple of tracks from him. I really like the one that had Earl Sweatshirt on it. I mean, that was just from, like, a lyrical standpoint, that went hard. Y'all touched on his personality. The line that killed me, he was on Hot Ones, I think. He was like, nigga, what's up with your mom? Like, bro, that's the one that shit had me crying.
Yo, when he was on, I think it was Breakfast Club, and talking about why he hates freestyling.
What did he say?
He was like, he was like, it's just the mentality. It's like, yo, my nigga, I know you're trying to eat off these 12 tracks that you already perfected, but give me a hot 16 right now. Like, and he just was like, that's facts though. Like, I would hate that too if I was a rapper, because like, clearly I'm up here for a reason, my nigga. Like,
and it's like, you gonna spit your most recent bars that you remember from your album. So it's like, if I give you that shit, you're not gonna really, you're gonna skip over the album. You're gonna skip over that song, bro. I'm not eating no more.
Yeah.
You know, Vince is definitely hard. You know, he's hard. And just not knowing that much about Joey, you know, I gotta pick Vince. But, you know, Vince is hard for sure.
Yeah, me, I probably lean more to the Vince side too.
Dang, we were unanimous again.
Yeah. I loved Big Fish Theory. That was an all-time favorite for me. I remember downloading that my junior year, just streaming that, and I was just like, this is different. This is a different vibe, and I'm enjoying it. And then he had the song with Janae Aiko. That was a vibe to just hear him on something soft like that with her and him go crazy. That was just, you know, a life-changing vibe. And then Joey Badass, I like the All-American Badass too. American Idol went crazy for me. But for me, it's just the fact that Vince has more, to me, versatility and more variety, kind of. Like Jesse said, he's more experimentative. So he's going to give you more, like, all these different vibes and kind of like sounds to just vibe out to. And he, like y'all said, his personality, he's kind of like a person. He's like, I'm gonna put out what I want to put out, and I don't care what you think of it. And I like that, because that's like me. I'm an artist, and that's like how I am with my music. My music is like more for me than anyone else. And to see somebody else who just like envisions something like that, you know, it's motivating, I would say, because he's on that, you know, he's on that level. He's already made it. He's already up there and stuff. So like I said, I give it to Vince.
Yeah, no, I was surprised. I thought y'all might have, the reason I brought up Badass, I thought someone might have took Badass, but I did that.
We got musical taste here.
It's crazy, because that was kind
of
hard.
Well, some of us have musical taste here.
Like, I would have almost leaned towards Joey Badass had y'all not reminded me of some of the other albums of Vince. I would almost lean towards Joey.
Also say this, Vince is an easy artist to forget about. Mm. And I don't know why. Like, he's just like, you think about all like the new hip hop guys. Like, oh yeah, we got Explain by Bang. Like, Vince may not even be in like the top five. I don't even know if he's quote unquote new, but like young, like under 30 hip hop guys.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, for our generation, like, cause I think Vince just not is
27.
Yeah. He's just not hit it. But
yeah,
so like I say, he's definitely in our age group. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, I think the funny thing about Vince is that like Vince drops whenever he wants, but he's so relevant because of his personality. Like, Vince is a really marketable dude.
Yeah,
but it's just like, oh, he also makes music, and it's really good. He might do one of them things like Pusha T, where it's just like, I'll drop whenever I'm ready.
So was that thing, was the Ye versus Wayne the one only one that we didn't agree on?
I think it was Bryson and her, because Dre wanted to be difficult.
One-sided, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because, wow. Yeah, with Derek, it was we were all her. For you, Josh, we were all... Well, no, that was the one we were all push. But yeah, Dre, I'm glad Dre was on here, because he brought a different one that we were all like, wait a second.
We were like, no, but here's this point.
Yeah, that was our one that really got us out. Everything else was like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's facts. I mean, nigga, you can't agree with that.
All right. So if there's any versus battles that we miss, please let us know. At us on Twitter at jokes_podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to this versus battle episode for Jesse Pink, for Kobe Price, for Derek Small, and for Dre. We appreciate you all for listening. For King Boy and Jay Alizier, thank you for the outro music. We appreciate you, sirs. And tune in next time. Thank you guys so much. Leave us 5 stars everywhere. Bye.
Can I say Ferros versus G Herbo? It's
too hot.
Ferros versus Lur.
I think you lose that one, buddy.
I know, but you know, honorable mention.
We should do a versus cities.
like St. Louis versus one of the shittier.